Hi, I'm Andrew Connell. In this screencast, we're going to take a look at the deep dive into the Office 365 Groups API. Before we begin, let's look at the developer vision for the Office 365 development. It boils down to both users and data. What do I mean by users? Users want to be able to work with their devices and interact with all of their information using custom applications or some of the applications that have been provided by Microsoft, such as the Office clients as Word, Excel, Outlook, and PowerPoint, as well as custom applications that developers build. They want to work with them in a familiar environment with familiar user interfaces. For developers, we want to be able to build custom applications using a multitude of different platforms, from working in a mobile experience to working off a server-side product, something that's working on the desktop, or even just a standard web page. We want to be able to get to all of our data and provide these really good experiences for our users. Specifically, we're going to look at understanding what groups are in Office 365, what extensibility options that we have, and then finally, we'll look at the Groups API as well. Let's take a look at how we normally see work being done. On the left-hand side, we have some traditional hierarchies, and you see how information moves slowly through a very command and control style architecture. But today, businesses are doing much more work in a more responsive network, one where information is going to travel fast, and people are going to learn and adapt based on how information flows. You can also look at it, too, where as far as the workforces or how people work together. On the left-hand side, traditional hierarchies have very fixed workforces and very siloed teams that don't interact with each other. But in business today, we have a lot of cross-pollination of workforces and having different virtual teams. So on the right-hand side, you see responsive networks. And what these do is these are going to allow users to leverage on-demand information and be able to take advantage of the global talent pool as well within their organizations. You have the rise of dynamic teams, which is one of the big things that's driving work in business today. We have modern collaboration using different tools and devices that are fit the best needs. We have an intelligent fabric that we want to be able to take advantage of to have insights into our information and data that we're working with on a daily basis. And we also want it personalized. We want it to work the way that we want it to work. We want things at our disposal that are going to make us the most efficient. This is all driving the introduction of Office 365 Groups. Office 365 Groups are going to bring people, information, and apps across Office 365 together to enable better communication and collaboration. Office 365 Groups help teams self-organize, work together across any tool of their choice, and build upon the experience and the expertise of others. It's a key part of Microsoft's vision for modern collaboration. The Office 365 Groups service creates a standard definition for team membership across Exchange, OneDrive, Yammer, Skype for Business, and the rest of Office 365, and it's all managed through Azure Active Directory. Office 365 Groups are going to bring together people and information and apps across Office 365 to improve to improve communication and enforce better collaboration. There are a bunch of key benefits available to groups that groups bring for us. First, we have a single definition, and that means that we have a single place where we can do all of our collaboration for a specific project. They're public by default, meaning that you don't have to be invited into these. They're going to be public and other people could find them. Now, you can make them private or you can hide them, but for the most part, they're wide open for people to be able to see what other people are working on. You can also share groups for other people who are not involved with the group, so I can easily add other people in. Self-service is going to enable us to create groups and let users create groups as needed and on the fly. It's not something that you're going to have to go submit requests for. Context and history means that you'll be able to see the activity within the group, even if you get added at a later date from when the group was originally created. And they're going to be simple to manage. So there's a bunch of building blocks that are going to support groups. So we have, for Office 365 groups, they're going to integrate with both Office and with Azure Active Directory. A lot of different tools are going to be available to us from working with groups, from Outlook to OneDrive to OneNote, Calendar, Skype, Dynamics CRM, and then future integration will also be enabled for things like Delve, Yammer, and additional Office products. This one group system across Office 365 is going to greatly simplify how things work. You're going to have one identity, and this is going to be an Azure Active Directory identity. It's the master for all group identity and membership across Office 365. Now, why is that important? Because what that's going to allow you to do is have one login that's going to be able to work with both Exchange, with SharePoint, and with even on-prem resources as well in your local directory. So you only log in once, and you're good to go across everything. You're also going to be able to take advantage of federated resources. So Office 365 services will extend with their different data. For example, conversations stored in Exchange Mailbox for groups will be made available within groups. Documents within a group are going to be stored in OneDrive, in a special OneDrive for Business folder for the group. The services are also very loosely coupled. They're going to notify each other of changes to a group. For example, creation, deletion, and updates within the group. Using synchronization from Azure Active Directory to Exchange Online Active Directory and SharePoint Online Active Directory, groups are going to be able to achieve reliability if they miss out on different notifications. So let's walk through and see what it looks like, what groups look like from an end user experience. In this demo, I want to show you how to create and interact with groups using just the browser. So we're going to come over here and open up my Outlook web app. Now, I'm going to come over, and when I want to create a new group, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here to the group section and click on Create a Group. I'm going to name this group the Contoso Merger Working Group. And the description will be study to determine if we should merge with Contoso. This group is going to be public. Anybody can access it, and the language will be set to English. So I'll go ahead and click Create. Now, it's going to prompt me to see if I want to add any users to the group by default. So let's go find someone. I'll find Janice. So I'll go ahead and select Janice and click Add. Hit save, and then I come over here and click add to add Janice. I'm gonna go ahead and add Janice to the group. Now after creating the group, it'll appear in the left-hand navigation in my Outlook web app experience. So you see over here, here's the Contoso Merger Working Group. One of the things I can do is I can change the icon for the group itself. So if I click on this little pencil, I can go find a file that I wanna use. So here I'll click on the little file and go find one. And then I'll just save my changes so that now we have Contoso showing up as the logo for our group. Now we're going to go ahead and start a conversation in our group. So I'm going to say, let's start a conversation. And this is just going to be like a regular old email that we're going to set. So I'll say something like, does anyone have any prior relationships with firms that do corp valuations? And then I'll just go ahead and send this message. Now when I do this, you'll see this message show up in the list of all the conversations inside of our group. So it takes a second for it to show up. And here it is. Now we see that our message is now showing up. At this point, nobody else has been subscribed to the group yet. So ideally, all the messages that I have in this group, specifically the ones that I'm involved in, I would like to have those show up in my email address or my email mailbox. So what I can do is I can click on the subscribe link, and what that will do is that now any message that shows up, any conversation that shows up inside this group will now also be emailed to me. Now, in the last, when we created the group, we added someone named Janice Galvin to the group. So let's go log in as Janice Galvin using a different browser window and see what her experience is going to be like. So here that we've logged into our mail as our Outlook app as Janice, you see here that it's now showing up as a Contoso merger working group. So I can see now that she has access to this group because we're logged in as her. I can see a previous conversation that happened as well. Let's go ahead and let's reply to the message that was here. So I'll come over here and I'll say that I'll just respond to the message that we had in the conversation and just go ahead and click send. So that'll send that message to the conversation. And now we should be able to see this entire conversation. We can now see that we responded to the conversation. So you can see there's one reply to this conversation. If I go back over to the browser where I was logged in, and I come over here to my inbox, I can see that Janice's message is now showing up in my inbox because I said that I wanted to be notified when changes occurred. So if I can come back over here to the Contoso merger, I can select this conversation and you can see where I posted the original message and Janice actually responded to me. Now, what if I was not a member of this group and I wanted to see if this group was available to me? So let me come back over here and let me log out as Janice. And let's log in as a third user. I'll log in as Rob Walters. Now I'm going to come over here and browse for groups. Let's see if I can find a group that's available to me. I can see the Contoso merger working group. I could have searched for groups by just typing in something like Contoso, and I can see that it found the Contoso working group. And because it's a public group, I can join this group. Keeping in mind that I'm logged in as Rob, not as Janice or as Andrew. So now that you see I've joined, and if I come back over logged in as Andrew, and I look at all the members of the group, I can see myself, I can see Janice, and after a minute, if I refresh this page, it should actually show Rob is in here as well. And there he is right there. So in this demo, you saw how to briefly create a group, interact with it, invite users, and even find a group if you're not already a member to it. Now let's look at the extensibility options available to us within Office 365 for groups. First, to review the Office 365 platform, at the top here is where we're going to build our applications. The way we can build our applications, we can use any technology we want hosted on any other infrastructure that we like. So we can build Windows apps, Windows Universal apps, iOS apps, Android apps, websites. It really doesn't matter. We can host it using any technology we want and any infrastructure we want. The development environment, well, Microsoft has provided a lot of different options. We have SDKs for iOS, so if you're using Xcode for building iOS apps, if you're using Eclipse or Android Studio, we have an SDK available for Android as well. There's a .NET SDK available for Visual Studio-based developers that are building .NET applications. And if one's not provided for you, so for example, like say Node or PHP, you can just work with the REST API directly instead of having to go through one of the different SDKs. All the authentication is going to happen using Azure Active Directory. It's all going to be based using the OAuth 2 protocol and also taking advantage of OpenID Connect to get some information about the currently logged on user. And then finally, where's the data going to reside? All the data will reside, for the most part, in Office 365. That's going to cover both SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, and OneDrive for Business. All of that's going to be made available through the unified API, which we'll find at graph.microsoft.com, which is a REST API. The different SDKs will talk to this endpoint to get their data, or you can work directly with it. Speaking about the unified API, it's currently in preview, but it will be released at some point in the future. That's going to be available at graph.microsoft.com, and it allows us access to all different things inside of Office 365 and across Microsoft as a whole. You see here, groups is one of those things. So we'd be able to go to graph.microsoft.com/the version number of the graph that we're working with, /groups, to get to our information. So let's look at how we can create an Azure Active Directory application that's going to take advantage of the Groups API. In this demo, I want to show you how to create an Azure AD application with the necessary permissions to access the Groups API, specifically the REST API, that we'll use later in this module. I'm going to do that by going into Azure first. So I'm going to come over here and log into my Azure Management Portal using an account that can manage my tenant. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come in and I'm going to create a new application. This is going to be an application my organization is developing. I'm going to call this my first Groups API app, and this is going to be a web application. The single sign-on URL for this, we're just going to use https://dev.office.com, and the unique ID for this is going to be acon.onmicrosoft.com/groups-api-app. And I'll just click OK. This is going to go ahead and create our app. Now I'm going to come over here to the Configure tab. And we need to do a few things. We want this application to be multi-tenant. I'm going to also need this ID. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this ID, and I'm going to paste it into this little notepad that I have here of some other values that we're going to need in a few minutes. I've already grabbed the tenant ID for my Azure Active Directory tenant. Now I need to create a secret. So I'm going to come over here and create a secret that's just 1 year long and click Save. And then we'll dismiss this and I will copy this value. And I will paste it right here. I also need to get an encoded version of this, and we're going to need that later. So let's come over here. I'll open up a new window here. And we'll have this be a URL encoded string. And I just search the web for URL encoder decoder. I'll paste that in, say encode it, grab the entire value, and then come back and save the encoded version. Okay. So now that we've done that, I need to go set up the permissions on my app. So to do that, I'm going to scroll down a little bit farther. And we will pick Add Application. Now the application we're going to add to it is the Unified API. So I'm going to pick the Unified API and click the little check mark. And then for the permissions, I'm going to specify read and write to all groups. So we got to find the group section. There, read and write to all groups and read items. Read and write to all groups, and then there's another one for read groups. There we go, right up there. So we'll take those two guys and we'll save them to set the permissions. Now that we've set up our app, the next step is to go through and use the REST API, and we'll do that in another demo. Let's look at some of the different REST endpoints that are available to us in working with groups. So here we have two different things that we can work with. We can manage groups, and then we can also work with the data within groups. For example, if we look at the endpoint at the top, we're going to graph.microsoft.com/the version number, so /beta in this case, because we're still in preview, and then /my organization. So that would be like contoso.com or whatever the name of your organization is in Azure AD. From there, we can say /groups. And that's going to then allow us to get to all the information within our group. From there, we can get to a group, we can manage the group, we can deal with the conversations, events, etc. Well, how do we go about building our application? The way this is going to work is you're going to register an app in the Azure AD portal. This can be a native application that runs on a device such as Windows or an iPhone or an Android device or a Surface. You can build a web application, or you can even build like a single page app, which is also a web application, just a special type of it. You then will configure your app permissions. There are a couple of permissions specifically for the group. We have a scope for groups.readall and a group groups.readwrite in all. We're going to then, our application will then authenticate using the OAuth2 flow in Azure AD and obtain an access token, and then use that token in addition to some OpenID Connect information that will be passed in to support single sign-on to then talk to the Office 365 Unified API. Now let's look at a couple different examples of what's supported with the API. For group management, we can look at the group or a collection of groups and users or a collect or just a specific user. On the right-hand side, you see the different actions that are supported. So for groups, we can use the API to create, update, read, and delete different groups. And then there's a couple different operations that are also supported, such as subscribe by email or unsubscribe by mail. And what that does is that'll essentially says that if there's a conversation that's added to the group or a message that's added to the group, should that message also be sent to you as an email? Or do you not want to get them as emails? That would be unsubscribing, and then you can instead just go to the group to see that information. You can also have a list of favorite groups that you have access to within the different client applications or through the web experience. You can do that by using the add favorite and remove favorite. For users, you can also see a list of all the groups that you've been joined to or that you are a member of. So how does this work? You would make a call to graph.microsoft.com, and again, you'd say /version number. So right now we're in preview, so you say beta, and then slash the organization, in this case here, contoso.com. And then when I go to /groups, that's gonna give me a collection of all the groups for this organization. And if I specify the ID in the next parameter, I'll get to a specific group, so that would be a GUID. And then finally, I could then run one of these operators on the end. So something like, say, add a favorite or subscribe by email or something like that. What about working with conversations? So these are all the conversations will all be stored in Exchange Online. We can get to conversations, threads, posts, and attachments. And you can see the different actions that are available to you here. For these, you just go find the group. So that's going to be the /groups/ID. And then you say /conversations to get to the conversation, or /threads to see an entire thread. Threads and conversations are very similar. They're both pulling back from the same information. It just, the thread lets you see all of the messages within a specific conversation, where the conversation is just the individual messages. You can also get to a calendar. So for this, we can see the calendar that's available to us. We can create, update, and delete events within the calendar. We can have a calendar view that we can have access to. That'll make it easier than having to have a predefined view of what would be showing up inside the calendar view. And then finally, we can also get to the attachments. And so for here, we can see where we're gonna get to the go to the groups. We then go to the specific group using the /ID. And then we'd say /events. We can then pick a specific event and then say /calendar view at the end to get a view of all the events that are inside that calendar. Files within a group will be stored in OneDrive for Business. Here we can get to files and folders, do the standard CRUD operations, including uploading and downloading files. And we can also enumerate through all of the items within a folder, including subfolders or all the files. To do that, we just go to the groups /ID to go to a specific group and then get a list of all the files, or go get a specific file. Here's some common queries that you would run using the REST API against the group endpoint. So the first one here is going to show us a list of all the conversations, specifically just the top 10 and sorted by the last delivery time in ascending order. I can get the next 10 conversations if I use the skip operator. These little dollar with a name after it, so like dollar top and dollar skip, these are OData operators. So the Graph API supports all the different endpoints that we have, or all the different operators in the OData 4 spec. We can also get a list of the top four the top 10 events, and then just get specific properties back for that specific for those events to limit the amount of data that comes back for performance. We can also get a list of all the conversations and look for the threads within that conversation to just get the body of that information you see there as the fourth option. Another option here, we can say, let's look for all the files, but filter them out where we only want to see the ones that have a name that starts with the letter C. And then we can just say, give me a list of all the files within the group, but I just want to see them based on the time that they were created. And that's just a specific, looking for specific properties. So let's take a look at a demo of working with the Groups API. In this demo, we're going to use the REST API to talk to the Groups API to get some information back about our group and to interact with it. The first thing we need to do is authenticate and obtain an authorization code from Azure AD. Now, I've already set up what the request is going to look like, and that's this thing that I've selected here, but I need to fill some values in. So what I'm going to do is let's go take the tenant ID for the value I grabbed earlier, and we'll paste that in for where the tenant ID would be. I'm also going to take the client ID, and I'll paste that in. The redirect URL, that's going to be https://dev.office.com, and we want an authorization code. So we'll take this entire value. Now I'm going to open up a new page here to where I can join all this stuff together on a single line. And we will take this and copy it. Now before I do that, I have Fiddler open right here to keep track of all of this. So I'm going to go ahead and clear Fiddler out. I'm going to open up a new browser window. And I'm going to log in. So I'm going to paste that URL in. And that's going to take me to Azure AD to log in. So we'll go ahead and log in. Andrew Connell, acdev.co, and we'll put our password in. We came to the dev.office.com site, and you're looking at it wondering what happened here, and there's really nothing special here except for the fact that we have this code value at the very top. That's what we were looking for. If I come over here to Fiddler, I can see that entire request that came across right here on this first request. So there's my code right there, and I can get it by going to the web forms, and there's the code. So we can grab that code out, I'll copy it, and bring it over back over to my notepad. So here's the auth code. It's a pretty big value. All right, now that we have an authorization code, we can now go get an access token. We get an access token using this second request down here on line 18. So what I'm gonna do is grab the tenant ID again. I'm gonna paste the tenant ID into the endpoint. Let's try it again. Copy that and paste it in. That's going to be the request. Here's some header values we're going to pass in, and then we need to pass in a payload. So what's our payload? The grant type is going to be an authorization code. We're going to redirect them back to dev.office.com. We need our client ID. Well, we had that up here, so we'll go ahead and grab that. We need our secret, which is URL encoded. So let's come back up here and grab the secret that we encoded. And let's finally then set up the authorization code. So let's grab the authorization code. We'll copy that and we'll paste it in right here. Now, I'm gonna use Fiddler to go create this request to get the token. So I'm gonna go copy that URL. In Fiddler, I'm going to use the Composer tab, paste in the endpoint that we're going to, grab these two header values, we have to do an HTTP POST to get the data, and we have to put the body in of the request we're going to make. So I will take the body, copy it, and paste it in right here. We need to put it all on one line to make it nice and clean. And let's execute this. Let's clear everything out over here, and we'll execute this and see if it works. And sure enough, it did. So if I select this request and go to the inspector, you see here that we submitted all this stuff across. And if I come over here to the value that comes back, there's an access token. So I can take this access token. there's our access token. We don't want the equals part of it. We just want the EY part of it. And if you notice, we also got an ID token. That's an OpenID Connect ID token. We won't use that, but you can just see how we can grab that. Oh, there we go. Let's get to the very end. There we go. And we have this ID token that we could use. All right. This is a JOT encoded token. So I could actually open up another browser window and do a search for a JWT decode. Find a utility that can decode them. I'll paste the token in right here. And you can see all the values that come out of it. Like there's my email address, and there's my name, full name, username. This piece right here, the authentication method, this, if I use two-factor auth, it would have indicated that I also used two-factor authentication, which might have been required. Okay, so now we actually have a token. We can use a token inside of any different requests that we want to make to the graph endpoint. So let's first do an issue a request to the endpoint. Let's get some information from about the currently logged on user from the Unified API. So what I'm going to do is come over here to Fiddler, and I'm going to go to the composer and create a new request to https://graph.microsoft.com/beta/me. We're going to get rid of a lot of this information, and we're going to get rid of the entire body because we're not going to be doing a post and do a get. But we are going to need an access token. So I'm going to come over here, go to my access token, and copy this entire value down. Go back over to Fiddler and have an authorization header of bearer space and then the access token. So let's clear everything out of Fiddler to make it easier to see our request. I'll execute the request and let's see what it gave, what information it knows about me. So here we know some assigned plans about me. I know some of the different services that I can use, like Exchange and SharePoint, about Office, Communications, RMS. There's my display name, proxy, and then there's my surname, and it'll also find my first name as well. What about groups? Well, I wonder what groups I'm involved in. So here's another endpoint that we can use. I can then use, how about the My Organizations? My organization is singular, and then pass in groups. This should give me a list of all the groups that I'm a member of using the Groups API. So go over here to the inspector, and what groups does it know about? Here's the Contoso Merger Working Group. You might remember that from the previous demo that we did when we were creating a group manually. There's one group that I'm involved in, and then here's another one for my first group. What about groups that I've joined? Those are all the groups that are in my organization. What about groups that I'm involved in or that I've joined? So here, instead of going to my organization's groups, I'm gonna go to /joined groups and click execute. And we'll look at this request, this response that comes back. Here, I'm in the Contoso Merger Working Group and my first group. And you can see the email address for our group. I can even do filters for this if I'm looking for a specific one. Like for example, under joined groups, I can say, let's look for not just the joined groups, let's look for all the groups available to us. So let's go back to my organization /groups. And then I could say $filter equals starts with display name of Contoso. And when we look at this one, I should get back just the single Contoso merger working group. And sure enough, that's what I got, just the single one. Now, what about getting all the conversations within this group? So what I need to do is I need to get the ID for this group. So let's go find the ID for this. So I'm going to grab this ID. We'll copy this out, and I want to actually get it. I want to get rid of the object ID part. I just want this GUID. We'll go back to Fiddler, and this time in the composer, what I'll do is going into the same group, all the groups. So let's come over here to the groups. I'll do slash, and I'll put the GUID in for that group. And then I'll say conversations. So a little hard to see that URL. So let me just open it up in a little notepad experience here. You can see here that I said, go to the groups. Here's the ID for the group. And then I want all the conversations from that group. And in Fiddler, you can see that it came back. If I select inspectors, here's the different items. So here's the one, here's the topic that I started for does anyone do anyone? That's bad English. Does anyone have any prior relationships with firms? And then someone said, I used to work for valuation firms. So that's kind of a preview of the entire topic that's going on, the entire conversation. I can also look at a conversation using threads. So instead of using just a conversation, I can say, let's see the threaded experience. So I'll back this up again and say threads. And how is this different? Well, threads will let me see the topic in the preview and the unique senders. And it'll let me, once I grab this topic, I could then go and reply back to the item, right? Let's say if I want to see all the posts within a specific thread. So what I could do here is grab the ID of this thread. So again, we'll copy this out. Let's paste it over here so I can make it easier to grab. And in the composer request that we'll make on this one is that for threads, I'll put a slash, and then I'm going to paste in that ID, which will be fairly long. And then I'll say post to show me all the items inside that thread. Here we can see that the body of the first one was empty. Here's a longer one that we created here. Let's see if we can find the first bit of the text in it. No, this one's not showing us all the text because it's just truncating some of it. But this is the one that Janice sent for everything in that one thread. I could also get events and files related to this group. So here, if I went back, instead of looking at the threads, I could say events and execute this and see all the events that were inside of this this group that we had created. However, we don't have any groups in this one, so it's empty. And I could do the exact same thing. I could put in files and see the files as well. So in this demo, we took a look at using the Unified API to access the Groups API to see content that was inside of our group, to find groups, to see what groups we were a member of, and to also see all the conversations within the group using the raw REST API after we authenticated. Microsoft is always working on the Groups API and the Unified API as well. And so what's coming next that we don't have in the API today? Well, if you take a look at the roadmap, Microsoft has plans for working with files and pages within the group and also inviting guest users or people who are not part of my organization to get access to a group. There's going to be integration with Dynamics CRM and also open up extensibility options for the groups for third-party applications to add other things. Like maybe it's not just going to be documents and conversations and calendar items. Maybe we may have something like, say, notes for OneDrive, for OneNote. Microsoft is also adding e-discovery and legal hold capabilities that we have in SharePoint Online for management and of the data, and also for legal and enterprise content management compliance. There's data loss prevention on the way, Azure Active Directory Connect support coming soon, instant on provisioning. Today, when we create a group, it can take a few minutes or a couple hours for the group to get created because there's a bit of orchestration between SharePoint Online and Exchange Online and OneDrive for Business and Azure Active Directory. Instant on provisioning will make this much, much faster and make it seem like when we create the group, it happens right away. You'll be able to get notifications for activity within a group that'll happen on your different devices. You'll be able to set and get the group photo. All the group information will be available via full text search. You'll be able to support batch operations on the Unified API. and also work with notes from the OneNote service. So what's coming next in 2015? Well, we just have a list of all of those things that I was just talking about. They're grouped between three different categories here, from experiences to administration and extensibility. You'll see a lot of the things that we saw in the previous slide and how Microsoft is adding those different things inside of the group's experience, both from a web experience and from the client experience. For example, Outlook 2016 and the different mobile apps will be able to have access to groups coming soon. Where can you get more information on groups? Well, there's a bunch of different resources. You can grab all the documentation for groups if you go to aka-ms/0365g. If you go want to look for questions or ask questions on this, you go to aka-ms/0365ng. You want to provide feedback? That's going to be at a user voice. So if you can get to that very easily by going to aka.ms/0365uv. And then you can also get to the roadmap for all of Office 365 and the Office clients and find out what's coming next by going to roadmap.office.com. In this session, we took a look at what groups were all about in Office 365, what the extensibility options were, and then also the different APIs that are available to us as well, including what was coming down the pipe for groups in Office 365. Microsoft offers multiple ways to get in touch with them and also to stay up to date on what's going on. One of the things is the Developer Program Watch. What the Developer Program is all about is allowing you to sign up and get email newsletters, free developer subscription to Office 365, which will give you a 1 year free to a Office 365 tenant, free training, free tools, and free webinars that they'll publish on a periodic basis. Using this Developer Program, you'll be able to stay in touch and up to date with all the latest and greatest offers and news and updates coming out of Office 365 and Office development. You can sign up for it at dev.office.com/devprogram. The Office team also provides multiple ways for you to sign up and to stay in touch with what's going on. From the Office 365 network and Yammer, to staying in touch on Twitter using the Office Dev handle, you can also ask questions on Stack Overflow using the tag ms-office. We have multiple podcasts as well. If you go to dev.office.com to sign up for different podcasts, such as the Office 365 Developer Podcast. In Channel 9, there's a developer show as well, the Office 365 Developer Show that comes out on a weekly basis. You can also find out about a bunch of different quick demos. You can find those at YouTube if you go to aka.ms/0365devsnackdemos. And then finally, do you have feedback for the team? Do you have ideas for new features? Do you have changes that you'd like to see implemented? Submit them on User Voice by going to officespdev.uservoice.com, where you can submit your ideas, and then you can also vote on other people's ideas and provide comments to the team. The engineering team looks at these issues on a periodic basis and a regular periodic basis and triages them to look to improve them and add things to the product going forward. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to watch this screencast.